Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Well, action-packed show. What much more show than you guys even deserve is delivered today. With lots of it's interesting Epstein stuff. And I do mean it, Mark, that the we do a little drill down on the Ghislaine Maxwell thing, and Mark brings up some very interesting points that it's just the kind of thing you will not see on the evening news with the pundits talking about it. So we got that. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John Summer Ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear for men and for women. Like having your own on-body AC unit made up from premium natural Pima cotton for enhanced airflow to evaporate sweat super fast. And they have lounge pants and loungewear, lazy day joggers, soft Zoom-ready tees and polos. Upgrade to Tommy John today. The enhanced super-breathable designs. This stuff is the best. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. It's a guarantee. I'm wearing mine right now. If you're going out in the summer and you're going out jogging or walking the dog or anything in the heat or working out in the garden, you need your Tommy Johns and your Tommy John tees, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. We're going to mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It is Reasonable Doubt. Mark Garagus is in the flesh.
You know, usually when we're this close together, we're sitting at a table with a bottle of Don Julio 1942 and it's Christmas Day. So I feel like this is kind of Christmas in July.
So I was talking to Mark off the air, so much to get to with the Ghislaine Maxwell and the Trump and the taxes and
Berman's testimony. I mean, this is a wealth of information. Taxes. The taxes first because I've got
I don't know anything about the law, but that's helpful sometimes. My take on it is your taxes are kind of between you and the IRS. If the IRS isn't flagging you or auditing you or whatevering you, then that's the relationship you have with the government and your taxes. And going beyond that is now a sort of, I don't know, enhanced scrutiny that, you know, I look at the president's the president, but I also look at him as an American. And also bigger picture, start thinking to myself, with all the scrutiny that we're putting everyone through and all the sifting through the past and God knows who has a yearbook picture with them in blackface or something from 1981, it's going to prevent a lot of decent people from wanting to even participate. You know, there's a lot of people who may have formerly made good presidents or good politicians who are, you know, successful business people or whomever. But they're also aware there's a couple things floating around in the past. And I think it's going to prevent a lot of them from throwing their hat in the ring. Because
that's where you went. Because I read, you know, there was a pair of opinions yesterday, both 7-2, although the takeaway from that, from both opinions, U.S. Supreme Court, was that Trump and Barr had taken the position, Barr is a believer in what's called the unitary executive, that basically the president has absolute immunity for when he's for anything he does while in office. That the argument is that you cannot come after him criminally, civilly, or anything else. Flies in the face, by the way, of the Jones v. Clinton case, where Paula Jones was suing Bill Clinton and the U.S. Supreme Court said, civil case, you could deal with it. The interesting thing about these two decisions is The one that got traction with the U.S. Supreme Court was the subpoena from a state grand jury, the Manhattan grand jury, which is investigating things that were done before he was president, and specifically whether or not he had paid off and deducted the funds that he paid to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal and how he reported that. So that's kind of interesting to me because that is, you would think, somewhat far afield. And Congress's subpoenas really got nowhere. I mean, they were – the Supreme Court said, and I think there's a pretty good argument that they were probably right, that the subpoenas themselves were too expansive. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's interesting. For everything that people have speculated about what's in his tax returns, does he have loans, you know, with Russian oligarchs? Does he have – is he servicing the debt, you know, massive debt from Saudi Arabia or via Deutsche Bank, where Deutsche Bank was doing their private wealth connections? It's interesting to me that those subpoenas are too overbroad, where you've got something that would directly impact foreign policy. Yet whether he paid a stripper to keep quiet for – and by the way, mixed motivations. Did he want Melania not to find out about it, or did he do it because of the election, or was it a combination of the two? That one – and you know, I was not surprised. I thought this is the way the U.S. Supreme Court would rule. But people now are speculating, and I was watching yesterday – that he will run out the clock because both of these are ordered back down, go down to the trial court. I don't think he's going to be able to run out the clock. Let me get your reaction and I'll tell you why.
Because that's what I heard.
Yeah. Well, what they didn't – what they – and I didn't see anybody talking about this yesterday. The grand jury subpoena is a criminal subpoena and it was not directed at him. It was directed at Deutsche Bank. It was directed at various organizations that he does business with. Well, guess what you can also do? If now they've got an opinion that says the grand jury subpoena is good enough, well, why can't they just issue a search warrant on these third parties for the tax returns and have them – they could get it in 4 days. Nobody's going to quash that warrant. I was just in the appellate department here in California yesterday arguing a case. It's clear settled law that under – California Supreme Court. I haven't done the research in New York State Court, but I can't imagine it's any different. In fact, I would bet it's not. You don't get immunity from an arrest or execution of a search warrant. If somebody wants to, for instance, the state of the law in California is, if a search warrant is issued on somebody who's a marijuana provider, if you've got all the licensing and they come in and they're searching your dispensary, if you show them you got the licensing, that doesn't – you don't have immunity there. You can raise it by way of a motion later on to suppress, but you don't get immunity from a search or immunity from an arrest. So interestingly, I think the Manhattan DA could be playing possum. They got some very smart people there. They could just be saying, okay, U.S. Supreme Court has said you don't have absolute immunity, number one, from criminal investigation. Number two, said our subpoena was fair game. We're not going to wait around and have you dilly-dally on the subpoena. We're just going to execute a search warrant on the third parties.
I also feel
which,
just
– by the way, they did on Michael Cohen. So.
Oh, yeah. Is he back in?
Yeah, I believe, Gary, as of yesterday or the day before, I generally would not go, and it's interesting because somebody had asked me to invest in that very restaurant within the last 3 weeks. I wouldn't go to probably the most paparazzi, you know, ever since Nello got kicked out of his own restaurant, this place has taken over as the hottest hot spot. Nello had on the Upper East Side was probably the place, but Nello's no longer Nello.
What? Yeah. So I guess the question is why would he do that? I mean, knowing what he knows or not knowing. I can't figure out people's motives a lot of the time. You know, I always had this theory sort of with Loveline when, you know, my boyfriend was cheating on me. You know, how'd you find out? He left his phone on my nightstand and it was open to the text and he doesn't have a password. And I woke up and it was there and I could see that he was, and it's like, he wanted to break up. You know, he doesn't, you don't, that's him It's self-inflicted. Maybe he didn't know it. Maybe he didn't want to admit it. Maybe he didn't want to break
the
view.
Yeah, it could have been an unconscious level.
But he wanted out. He wanted out, or he wouldn't have left the phone on your nightstand. And so going to a place when you're under house arrest and it's well-populated with paparazzi, you're eating al fresco out on the terrace.
By the way, it's not like he doesn't realize how many times can you play back in your brain the number of pictures of him sitting outside with his buddies prior to him going into custody at some other al fresco place smoking cigars in New York.
Right. So back to the Trump thing. The other thing that the Trump feels like, and it'll be political. It'll sound political, but it's not really meant to be political, which is a sort of hectoring. I feel like it's just a constant hectoring. You know, well, what about this? And now show us that. We need this. And it's all so important when it's not really that important in the sense that nobody, I feel like, first things first, if you got anyone's tax returns who owned 28 casinos and a bunch of golf resorts, you're going to find a ton of shit on there that you're going to cry foul about. And it's going to sound horrible. You know, what he did and who he did it to. And that's the name of the game. In the tax world, if you own a bunch of businesses and somebody wants to go through them, and they go through them with a mindset like they're a substitute school teacher, like, look what this guy's writing off swizzle sticks for his casino. Meanwhile, I have to buy my own supplies, you know, and I can't even – you cannot look it through that. My feeling is – anybody who makes more than $1 million a year and owns more than five businesses, it would fall under the same sort of problem. If you're looking for trouble, you shall find it in those tax returns. Now, some stuff's more egregious than others, but my feeling is let the IRS look at it. It feels like it's a nonstop, I guess, hectoring, I guess I would
call
it.
But that's politics.
I know it's politics.
I mean, that's politics. Right. I mean, I've said it 100 times, maybe 1,000 times on this show. Bill Clinton and the Whitewater proctology exam, which I know firsthand from Susan, it was astonishing to me what the independent counsel was doing and what they were looking for and the constant, there's always this, there's always that.
I would feel the exact same way if they were doing it to President Obama. Just be like, just leave the guy alone. Go beat him on policy. Fine.
Well, part of the law of unintended consequences is that you get people like Obama who are have no business interests, so to speak. You know, that's why Biden, the only thing they've tried to do with him is to tag him with his son. Because Biden's net worth, he's probably the only politician I've ever seen who in 40 years of public service is worth, you know, less than $1 million.
I mean, that's what it's going to do. It's going to attract career politicians and take guys who've run businesses and essentially push them out of the circle because they're not going to want to deal with that scrutiny.
It's very difficult to deal with it. And
by the way, whatever that though the lawsuit from discrimination from the employee from 8 years ago, it's all going to look shitty.
Right.
On them, right?
I mean,
look at Bloomberg.
I can't tell you, as you said.
It was Bloomberg with the gag orders and the women. And why don't you just let them talk? Yeah. Lift the gag. Please, you guys live in this weird bubble of politics, and everyone else has to go out there and fucking do battle with you guys and with attorneys and with municipalities, and we're fighting for our lives. So don't give us that. Well, why aren't you lily white like us? Because we have to go do business. That's why.
I was telling one of the lawyers in the office last week, and I think I was mentioning it here, I do not know how most people who what are traditionally called mom and pop businesses, I don't know how they stay in business. I don't know how they survive this pandemic. I really don't. The number of hurdles that you have to run through, and God forbid PPP, you know, we went for PPP funds. I assigned two lawyers to deal with compliance and understanding it. I spent last night looking at it to figure out what I can do, what I can't do, what you got to spend it on. I've got an accountant who looks at this stuff. You've got people who then you get sued by lawyers who want to allege that 2 years ago, some drunken guy that I got, didn't get paid his overtime, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you can't afford employment practices insurance if you're a small company. So you and then there's a retention, meaning a deductible of $50,000. How does somebody stay in business? One minute you're open, the next minute you're not. Then when you open back up, you got a hot dog truck in front of your business or you got a taco truck in front of your business who's not paying any of the rent. I don't know how guys stay in business. I mean, I was walking in downtown this morning and still the place where Primo used to be boarded up. The place where Limericks is closed down. The place where Joey's, they just have, you know, they must have spent $6 or $7 million on that place at the block. That place is now just the front is open. Tenny, I'm keeping it open, but it's losing money hand over fist. Engine company, at least through other ingenuity, we're keeping afloat. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how a small business stays in business. It's impossible.
Well, it's funny. I was screaming at the TV set couple days ago because Gary, maybe you can find Nancy Pelosi and her statues thing. Chris actually Loxamon already cut it up. I think you might be able to get it from him. But what I've really been drilling down on sort of fundamentally, and I talked about it here, I talked about it on Tucker, I talk about it everywhere, which is this crazy chasm between what the city expects out of taxpayers and law-abiding citizens, and then there's sort of everyone else, you know. And I'm not even paraphrasing. Somebody said to Nancy Pelosi, like, well, what do you think about all these people just tearing down statues? And she's like, I'm not interested in statues. I'm like, okay, yeah, right. But she's interested in towel bars in your fucking handicap stall or your bathroom. Otherwise, you're going to be taken to jail, right? So what do you mean you're not interested? You know, you're not interested in handicap ramps. You're very interested whenever I do a building project. You're very interested in me putting chain link fences around oak trees that a billy goat couldn't fucking climb to. That you express immense interest and supreme interest in that. And then so she goes, what about it? She says, I'm not interested in tearing down. I'm not interested in statues. And thankfully, at least the reporter followed up and said, well, okay, but if they're going to be taken down, shouldn't there be done in an orderly way, like an ordinance, a vote, you know, a time, a guy with a hard hat, a crew, just torn down by an angry mob? And she said, people are going to do what they do.
Yeah, I know.
How about I have a fucking beer on the beach? Well, I'll just file it under, that's what I do. Like, well, man.
The problem with law.
When Gary has it, he'll do it.
The problem with the criminal law, and I think you can find it today, which is the bookend to your argument, is if the vandalizing of statues, and by the way, I don't, you know, somebody invoked, it's funny, the other day, Kaylee McInerney said something about, you know, they're defacing the Armenian Genocide Memorial in Colorado. When she was talking about it, is that what we're going to erase
next?
It was
an ethnic cleansing. It wasn't really a full genocide, but go ahead. I have a lot of Turkish friends.
Yeah, apparently you're speaking to the Turkish demographic. So then all of a sudden the diasporan lobby was like, look, the White House is signaling that they're going to fall in line with Congress. And I kept saying to myself, God, you guys are so you're so Pollyannish. You have such a childlike naivete. She just was trying to cite something, and that's the first thing that popped into her head. And sure enough, they clarified within a day or two. But the problem with this is, and with using the criminal law, if you're going to say that it's okay to topple statutes, which that's fine, if that's your policy, then you can't criminalize, which just happened today, I believe, painting over Black Lives Matters, because then what you're doing is that's a violation, by the way, of equal protection. If you're going to prosecute,
hitting them with a hate crime.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is
consistent.
Right.
I don't mind if you're going to bludgeon people with the criminal law. I actually, when everybody talked about defunding police, I said, why are you picking on the poor police? Defund the prosecution. If you would just defund the prosecution, then you would really solve all of these problems in a moment and just make them, force them to be on a budget. Just force them to be on a budget. You would never see. Can you imagine when the guy comes in and says, hey, grade five deputy DA Adam Carolla, I want to file hate crime charges because they painted over Black Lives Matters. And you say to them, well, wait, how much is that going to cost us? Well, you know, it doesn't matter. We've got to send a message. But you say, well, did we file the hate crime on the statute? No, we didn't. Well, what if the defense lawyer brings up this thing called equal protection and that I'm somehow I'm prosecuting only crimes that I don't like when it's the same acts? Oh, that, we're not going to get there. You really want to litigate that all the way to the Cal Supreme Court? Yeah, because we've got an unlimited budget. Why not do it?
Not only unlimited budget, but the other sort of insidious part of this is unlimited time. So everyone else has a fucking job and they have to take time off to show up and to meet with lawyers and to come to the courthouse, the facility, whatever they have to do. You have to stop doing what you're doing. They do it full time. They're going to be there anyway.
Right.
So it's like, who cares? Bring the mountain to Mohammed. They don't care about the budget, and that's their job. They're there anyway. They'll prosecute you or prosecute her.
For
everyone else, it's a big life interrupter.
And how about the insanity of everybody says we follow the science, we follow the science. We've closed the beaches, right? We just closed last weekend. Weren't they closed?
Okay. I guess. People weren't – by the way, people are not – paying attention anymore.
Oh, well, we closed
the beaches. The people went
and
out anyway.
the mayor is saying, well, people aren't, they're congregating, they're getting too close, they're doing whatever, and I'm about to close LA down. Well, guess where I was yesterday? Yesterday morning, I had to go. I just kind of mentioned it, but you got to understand the idiocy of this. I have a client who has a dispensary. We got the case dismissed, okay, mm-hmm. because he was what was back then called Prop D compliant. He'd paid his taxes. He had a permit. They went and got a search warrant. They never bothered to tell the judge who issued the search warrant that it was a guy who was paying his taxes, had a license, and was operating a dispensary. They just told the judge who issued the search warrant, hey, this guy is selling marijuana from this location. We need a search warrant. They right. go in. They do it. And so yesterday, the city attorney, mind you, even though since this case has been dismissed, not once but twice the voters have passed more regulations or more initiatives saying, stop prosecuting this stuff. Nope. He's taking it on appeal. I have to go into the courthouse downtown yesterday, go through the metal detector, waiting in a line with a teeming masses of people in there while you wear your mask to go into a courtroom. Mind you, this is a misdemeanor case that was dismissed of selling marijuana when the guy was licensed and paying taxes. Argue with three judges who were sitting there who had given a tentative ruling that they were going to reverse this case. And I had to point out to the three judges, I haven't seen their opinion yet, but their tentative was against us. And their tentative, I pointed out and said, Judge, you cite in your tentative hearing a court of appeals case. It's a great court of appeals case. There's only one problem. The Supreme Court 3 months after that ruled and said that I could bring this motion pretrial. I didn't have to wait for trial. I didn't want to hear that. Then I said, wouldn't you be insulted if you were a judge and somebody came to you and said, aha, I'm a detective and I've done some research and they're selling OxyContin on Van Nuys Boulevard. And people are buying it. And I confronted people who had bought the pills from this location and you issued a search warrant. And then you found out once you got to court that it was Sherman Oaks Pharmacy and it was licensed by the right. pharmacy board and they had prescriptions and right. they didn't tell you that. Wouldn't you be a little pissed if you were the judge? Wouldn't you say, why are you clogging up my court? It's identical to this situation. And they're pulling lawyers in and judges are sitting on a bench, three judges, not one, three, the appellate department, in order to decide this idiotic case, which by all accounts looks like it's going to be reversed. And I'm going to have to go back down to that hellhole in Department 6 in East L.A., which is also teeming with COVID.
Yeah.
That is the city, L.A. city attorney, which, by the way, reports to the L.A. city mayor, who is Eric Garcetti, who's talking about shutting the city down. That's the inanity of this.
I was interviewing Danny Trejo a couple days back for my show.
Danny T.
And he was talking about his assistant who talk about sort of what I was hearing your voice screaming in my ear the whole time. His assistant got somebody like, I don't know, T-boned him or something. And they got out of the car and they said, all right, we have to exchange information or something. And the guy said, I don't want to exchange information. I'll give you $500. And he said, $500, not going to be enough. That's not going to cover my deductible. And the guy went, well, take the $500 because I'm leaving. And Trejo's guy detained him. Now, I don't know if he had a gun. I don't know what he did, but he sort of said, you're not going anywhere. I'm calling the cops.
If Danny T has a guy, I can only imagine right. what the guy looks like.
But the
like.
Guy basically said, no, no, you're not. We're exchanging information. If you're not going to give me your information, whatever you're giving me is not going to cover to the cost of repair. So I'm going to hold you here and I'm going to call the cops. And that he did. And then the cops showed up and then they arrested Trejo's assistant for kidnapping. And like wow. and like armed assault
right.
or whatever.
I'm sure false imprisonment.
And then, and, the, and then went right through the system. And then 40 grand later with the attorney, they wanted to retry the thing. And then the guys, you know, basically the attorney, the prosecuting attorney's just going, look, I'm just going to retry this thing again. You want to, you got another 40 grand you want to pay your attorney or do you want to just settle? Like you want to plea out. So we'll plea out and he'll have it on his record that, you know, aggravated right. assault
aggravated
or something.
Assault
and it's like, really? That's your system, huh? That's
that
how it works?
It is every time somebody says it's the best system in the world. I'll say then the world is fucking is a horrible place. Our criminal justice system is so fucked up, so broken beyond repair. I can't even tell you.
Right.
It's idiotic. It's absolutely idiotic.
The cops are the privates. They're the foot soldiers. They're out on the battlefield. Let's focus on the generals and the presidents and not the guys out on the street.
If you, because it's for so many years, for 40 years, when people have talked about, I mean, this is the only way that this could have evolved. Of course, this evolved to this point and what has happened and why people are in the streets. I've always wondered why they weren't in the streets 30 years ago. Because if it were me, if I was in there, I'd be screaming at them. I've never understood why clients just sit there when guys or judges are running roughshod over them. I'd be saying, fuck you. What do you, blah, blah. You're going to give me a life sentence? What the fuck's the matter with you? I mean, why do you sit there and do it? You get the cops. Just think about what happens. The cops get their cue from the prosecutors. They know what's a case that's going to has legs and what doesn't have legs. It's not like they're out there inventing the law. They know what the law is by what they're told. And that's why the prosecutors could solve this problem.
Gary, you have the Pelosi clip, which she does something that is off-putting to me oftentimes, which she's sort of flippant about things. Like she gets a little annoyed that you ask her questions.
I think that's her age.
Okay.
Because I think by the, if God, I hope I live to, how old is she? Is she 80?
She's 80.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if you notice this, but as you get older, don't you get more impatient?
Yes.
But I mean, I can't suffer people.
No, I get it. But I wouldn't be annoyed at legitimate questions. I get annoyed at dumb questions. Sorry, go ahead.
The city of Richmond is obviously in sync with your desire to get rid of Confederate statues, but in Baltimore and Little Italy, the statue of Christopher Columbus was removed or taken down. And I wonder if you have anything to share about that.
Well, I'm not a big, you know, I don't even have my grandmother's earrings. I'm not a big let's see what we have in terms of monuments in this. The community doesn't want the statue there. The statue shouldn't be there.
Exactly. Shouldn't that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
I love that. You know what? It's so funny that we
how about we do what we want to do on the fucking beach then, bitch? Like, how about I just go to the fucking beach? Look, under your orders of us doing, we do what we do.
But you get upset over that? I think that's entertaining.
No, I find it entertaining. My problem is why do I got to go deal?
Can you play that one more time for me?
Why do I have to deal with Department of Building and Safety if under your regime people are just going to do what they do? Why can't I just put a fucking second story on my house?
I love
By the way, this talk about going down at night.
The community doesn't want the statue there.
Well, first off, hold on a second. Is there anything more dangerous than tearing down a giant bronze monolith in the middle of the night while you're underneath it?
If it was out of Turk, I would probably do it myself. I'd be out there.
But look, we have helmet laws. You're not allowed to just do what you do. You can't get on a fucking Vespa without a helmet and just head on down the street. You'll get sighted.
That's the one part where we differ. Because I look at her saying that, and it just cracks me up. I love that line.
I know it. I find the humor in it as well.
Do you? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Scalia once when somebody confronted him in some interview. And I used to have it on my wall. And Scalia was – they were talking about the fact that he had said something at one point. And then said, that was then. This is now.
Well, here's – I guess my thing is I find it entertaining. Yes. My feeling is I know you don't want to say anything negative about – the people tearing down the statues, that's your constituency. But you have to feign interest as a leader for safety. You know, you have to feign. Like you go, well, I don't condone that. And if anyone is thinking about doing that, they should stop and take a
break. They started to get at the point that I really wanted somebody to drill down on, which she is Italian, is she not?
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Her dad dedicated a few statues.
Right. I was going to say her. That's because you read my mind. Her dad was the mayor, was he not? I thought her dad was the guy who was instrumental in the celebration of Christopher Columbus.
Her dad probably sort of christened, if that's lack of a better term, was at the ceremony.
Get it?
Probably Christopher Columbus. A couple of statues in Philadelphia or Baltimore?
I thought it was Baltimore.
And
the reason I've got this memory is my buddy from Cleveland used to talk very fondly about her father and his role. You know, because I don't know if they've got it anymore. In Cleveland, they have a Columbus Day parade, which is just unbelievable. I mean, it's an event. They close down the streets. They march through on Columbus Day. It's a holiday that rivals the 4th of July.
Well, it's now problematic. All right, play it again, just that part of her saying it, because it's funny.
Real quick, let me just button up. In 2017, it was noted that her father dedicated the Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee Monument as mayor of Baltimore. Alongside the then governor.
Yeah. Problematic.
Yeah, I'm going to visit the sins of the father upon the daughter. Tenny can appreciate that.
You just want the end here?
Yeah, it's funny.
Yes.
The community doesn't want the statue there. The statue shouldn't be there.
Respectfully, shouldn't that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
A mob.
You know how on motions that I usually like to get little quotes and start as a prologue? That's going to be my new prologue on any vandalism case. Should it be about mobs as opposed to city? People are going to do what they're going to do.
A mob in the middle of the night throwing the statue in the river. People are going to do what they're going to do. That's a city official.
Third in line.
The city official I'm thinking of was – there's another funny one. Sorry, you're making me spread disease. Gary, there's one that I pulled out from like 3.5 years ago, and it was the L.A. – it was out front of a restaurant, out front of a swanky restaurant. And he's, I think, a man of color, but he's – pretty mixed, and he's like the L.A. City Police, not chief, but like commissioner of police.
Yeah, they've got a police commission.
Some version of that, like a civilian in charge of police.
On Hollywood Boulevard coming out of the steakhouse. I think he's coming out of Boa or something.
Yeah, and somebody said to him, they desecrated Trump's star with a pickaxe. What do you think? And we'll hear his answer, which, again, is not...
I got to come on here for my next – I'm going to take in the next vandalism case that comes into the office. I'm going to take it pro bono. I just love – because I just love the idea of the equal protection and that I've got, you know, there's an advice of counsel defense. This will be the advice of legislation. Yeah. That's the legislative intent. People are going to do what people are going to do. But really, wait a second. We got this statute that says it's a criminal offense to vandalize something. People are going to do what people are going to do.
That's right up there with it is what it is. It's it is really hard to argue with.
Or that was then. This is now. I don't know why that just tickles me so much. It just reminds me of some guy sitting in a rocking chair. People are going to do what people are going to do.
Yeah, it was a. But again, I'm completely and utterly fine with that. If you then apply that to me walking on the beach with a beer,
or how about when I'm walking in the morning around La Cañada on the horse trail when the horse trail is supposedly closed because they're worried that there's going to be
you're just doing what you're going to do.
People are going to do what they're going to do. That's what happens.
All right, what Gary's going to find that clip.
I got it. We're just moving computer to computer.
Hmm? Are you having computer problems?
We'll talk about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, I want to. Let's go back to that because also what happened this week is Jerry Nadler, your favorite congressman, came out. Jeff Berman, who was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who was fired/resigned. He actually was fired by Bill Barr. And about 3 weeks ago, I think Gary had corrected me about a week ago. And he was called to testify in front of Congress. It wasn't a closed session, but they haven't released the transcript yet. So as we sit here, maybe they released it today, but as of last night, they hadn't. But what was being said is that he was making an accusation. He, Jeff Berman, was making or testifying that Barr kept saying, I'm going to give you a job as head of civil at DOJ, or I'm going to give you the head of the SEC. I want you out of the Southern District. We want to put somebody else in there. He said, no, I'm worried about the integrity of the investigations. That was then. Obviously, what happens is Berman kind of stood his ground. Audrey Strauss became the acting. And then we know that Maxwell was arrested. Is that the reason that Barr was trying to replace him? I think you could make that. That a lot of people said no. It's because of Trump investigations at the Southern District. It seems to me that that is not a coincidence. That Jeff Berman they try to pull out, and then within a very short period of time, Audrey Strauss announces that she's arresting and prosecuting Ghislaine Maxwell. I think that those two are connected. I don't buy the fact that that was a coincidence. What say you?
Why was she in the country? She has passports and
she's apparently multiple passports for multiple countries.
So why was she in the country? And well, then
interestingly,
how long did they know where she was, or did they always kind of know where she was?
Apparently, they were following her and knew where she was. The paparazzi knew where she was. And apparently, she had an LLC that purchased a 156-acre property up in the Northeast. The interesting thing also about this case since last week is she has hired, as her defense lawyer, the gentleman who was the prosecutor against El Chapo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people will – I know that there are a lot of people who think when you hire an assistant United States attorney, they know the secret handshake and that's going to get you some. But generally what happens are those – it's very rare for an ex-United States assistant to make a really smooth transition to defense in terms of being a trial lawyer. What they generally do is they go to a big firm or they go to a large firm. And they specialize in investigations or white collar crime, as they say. But white collar crime is generally not, you know, there's people who've written books. There is no such thing as the federal jury trial anymore. I mean, it's rarer than finding a.
So why him?
I think because she's cooperating. I think that she picked him. She wants somebody. He was at the Southern District. I think maybe Gary will find his name.
So you know.
I think she's cooperating based on – I don't know anything other than connecting dots here.
No, but you know as a very experienced attorney that if you were going to get ready to do battle, then you might want this guy.
Christian,
this girl.
Christian Everdell.
Correct. That's him.
And if you're getting ready to cooperate, you might want to look. It's like they're all dogs. You're going hunting. You're going fishing. You want a one that's a water dog because you're shooting at duck, shooting at geese. You want a bloodhound because you're trying to catch a fox or whatever. You know, it's like they're all dogs, but they kind of do different things. And if somebody said he's got a Labrador, you go, oh, he's going duck hunting. Yeah. And the person, I'm not saying what I'm doing. It's like, yeah, but you're not chasing a fox with the Labrador. So like, there's different applications for different attorneys.
Absolutely. And she's smart enough and savvy enough, and she's had enough time in the crosshairs, which goes back to your question, why didn't she flee? She obviously didn't. She thinks she's either got enough of a defense, which I don't think is the case, because if she was going to fight this, this would not have been
the pick. So she – well, you tell me. She evidently has the same stuff that Epstein has in his vault. She possesses much of the same material or copies of the material.
She also is a first has a front row seat, if not a participant, if you believe everything that's being reported.
Right.
So
but,
she's
but
got that, knowledge.
That can be her what do they say? The composing to get off, which is fine, but it's better to have videotapes and shit like right?
Or if you can explain or point to where there is other corroborating evidence.
Right.
I mean, she can look at a flight manifest and say, this happened, and tie and connect the dots. So that's invaluable to a federal prosecutor.
She's feeling like she has a get-out-of-jail-free card, literally – with her information.
The federal system works is they always want to roll up. That's
right.
The,
yeah, sure. I mean, they want to go after dignitaries and presidents and princes and things like that. So she feels like she has such a cache of information and or documentation that she's never going to spend any substantial time in prison, and thus she does not have to flee. She doesn't have to be
exactly.
an international,
she
whatever.
Have to be international.
And then so she gets an attorney that would facilitate that direction versus that we're going to fight to the death for your innocence and we're not rolling over on anybody direction.
I mean, normally people who are sophisticated, and she is very sophisticated by all accounts, she knows how valuable her information, her proposed testimony, her proffer could be. And she wants somebody who speaks the same language as the SDNY, and she's got somebody who's coming off of a high-profile prosecution in Wynn, although I always say I could have sent Kalin in to prosecute El Chapo, and he would have probably brought the jury in about the same amount of time.
Well,
and that's not an insult to you, Kalin.
Thanks,
Mark.
And
today
obviously, she's not going to enter this agreement without knowing she has a storage container full of super damning shit that the feds want. That's going to get her to treat. She has beads to trade,
and I'm sure that they aren't here. You know, when you say why didn't she flee? She probably has whatever things that she thinks are going to be helpful. My guess are held in places that will never be found absent her saying something.
Right. So
– and the idea – it'll be very interesting to see the unfolding of whether she remains in custody, doesn't remain in custody, whether the government cooperates or agrees, whether they seek detention. There's a lot of clues that we're going to get based on what ends up happening with the government.
Would she be looking at potentially no time with all the info if she gives them enough info, or does she have to get some accessory something then to send to some women's country club?
Part of what will happen is they're doing the dance right now on detention. And Gary, as we're speaking, she's still in custody and there's a hearing what day. If it's not today, it's Monday, I believe. And that will make a big difference into how fast this all works. If she gets released, this isn't going to be as fast a process as if she's in.
Why?
People have a motivation once they're in custody to
get out of custody. Bait.
Yeah, to get out of custody. I used to say, people would plead to virtually anything.
To get out. To get and out. And what? And what do you? She's on suicide watch, or she's on don't let someone commit suicide for her watch. Which
this says. this article is a little vague. It says next week's detention hearing in New York. So I'm not sure if that's Monday or maybe sometime middle. Yeah,
my guess would be that they'll probably. I think I saw somewhere it would be Monday. And
but she'd have to be if she was let out of custody. She'd have to have protection. Right?
Yeah, and I think what they would probably propose. My guess, I'll give you a coming attraction. They will propose that she wears an ankle monitor, that she's on home arrest, and that she has a guard around the clock guard. That is in New York. That happens more often than other places.
This next article that I found says that it's scheduled for Tuesday afternoon, 1 p.m., presumably New York time.
Yeah, that makes sense. See, you could tell if she wanted to fight this, if she was going to fight this, she would pick, you know, I've talked about him before. One of my closest friends in the world is Ben Brofman, who works with Tenney works for, or Mark Agnifilo, who's Ben's partner. Those are the kind of guys that you would pick. Who you that would send a signal that would say, you know, I'm going right. to fight this case, or
so
you got to come to the prosecutor knows they're in for a battle, and so they're going to have to make that decision. They're doing the same calibration. I mean, don't get me wrong. The prosecutors, the U.S. attorneys who are assigned to this case, are making that same calibration. Oh, this is who she hired. This is telegraphing this. There's a dance that goes on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and also the people that may be outed by this, Clinton or Trump or Prince whoever, whomever, whatever, those guys also have to be aware of who she chose as a lawyer and what the implications of that are as well.
And the handicapping's already begun. I mean, there is a list, you can see it on the internet, of 12 people who are presumably named that she could cooperate on and very – kind of high profile people. I mean, people always focus on the Trump and the Clinton or the Prince Andrew, obviously, because those are big names. I just think that there's something that she has that has sent some kind of shiver in the two Barr. I don't know whether – you know, as we mentioned before, Barr's dad was the headmaster where he first got his first job, where Epstein did. And I just don't know what else is at play there. I don't know what else is at play with Trump. But there's certainly – if she was rolling on Clinton or there was some fear of that, you certainly wouldn't try to get Berman out of, off the chessboard. That doesn't make any sense. The only reason you get Berman off the chessboard is if you believe either this prosecution or some other investigation that the SDNY is doing is going to be compromising to Trump. Now, given what happened yesterday, the Manhattan DA seems to me to be of a lot more fear to Trump than the SDNY or the congressional subpoenas, and SDNY is not apparently in the mix trying to challenge anything or not getting any material. So it doesn't appear that it's a direct SDNY Trump investigation that they're worried about. It appears to me that it's a Maxwell investigation and what Maxwell might say that they're worried about. That's I wish I had more inside information, but I'll tell you that if you're going to speculate and you're going to connect the dots, that's the only thing at this point that makes sense.
Gary has the tape of Matt Johnson, president of the LA Police Commission. We should get him and Pelosi together to really clean up this town, Matt. Here's the question. It's like 3 years ago or something.
Hey, Matthew, how you doing?
Hey, what do you think about the ongoing defacing of Donald Trump's Star of Fame?
I'm in favor of it.
You're in favor of it? Do you think maybe they should just remove the star? Is it
I'm
becoming a public
definitely in favor of getting rid of the star.
Great. Hey, thank you very much, sir. Have a good night.
Guys are going down to Hollywood Boulevard with pickaxes. He's in favor of it.
Matt's a great guy. Matt is a great guy.
All I know is a great guy. I'm trying to think. Does Kevin Smith have a star on the Walk of Fame? I'm trying to think of people I don't enjoy.
Not that I know of.
I'm not a Lena Dunham fan. Does she have one out there?
A little take young.
What if some night?
I don't like Casey Kasem that much. Sorry, Mark. I'm just not a fan. It wasn't his top 40. It was the Scooby-Doo voice. I don't appreciate it.
Kevin Smith does.
He does? Well, they're good. I'm just going to head out with a pickaxe and attack it viciously.
By the way, to Mark's point earlier,
our good friends at Bet Online actually have odds on the first person that Maxwell's going to name in a bid to get out of prison. So Bill Clinton is actually at the bottom of that list at plus 1,000. Number one at plus 200 is Glenn Dubin.
Yeah. Well, Glenn Dubin is – everybody says Glenn Dubin. Do you want to give the background on Dubin and his wife?
Glenn Dubin.
Yeah.
Never heard of. Yeah, a lot of these are going to be just powerful people we've never
heard
of.
Glenn Dubin and his wife are heavy hitters. And Dubin has apparently, everybody keeps talking about, you know, the unspoken thing is, that's who I would have guessed if I could have remembered his name. But
Who are the names before we get to someone whose name we recognize, Gary?
There's only one more before you get to someone you'd recognize, and that is, and I could be mispronouncing, Ehud Barak.
Yeah. That's the Israeli former prime minister.
And then who are the names we recognize?
The next two, I think you'll recognize Prince Andrew and Alan Dershowitz.
Oh, yeah. Dershowitz.
Dershowitz has called publicly for any tapes to be released and said that he will waive his privacy rights.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
I mean, to me, that means he's not worried that there is a tape.
Yeah,
he went on Twitter and just basically said,
I've had conversations with Alan about this. Should we get Alan on?
I would love to.
Why don't we get Alan on next year?
There's something. So he kind of.
He is as convincing, as persuasive, and I've known him for many years. Dershowitz, I think, has had a storied career. And if you talk to him about this for 20 minutes, I'd love to hear you have a conversation with Alan.
Well, I'm kind of curious because he was a darling of the progressive movement. And then at some point, he started drifting over. And I don't think he moved. I think he's a libertarian. I think the leftist movement got so far left and, you know, cancel culture and stuff like that he started pushing back against it.
And when he calls Gary, remember, because I'm going to tell him that, I'm going to say the same thing because I feel there are certain similarities, although I watched him do a C-SPAN book review of his latest book. And at the very end, he slams Jesse Smollett. And so last time I talked to him, I said, you know, I was with you the whole way until that. I said, you don't know anything. You've never talked to me about the case. You don't know any of the evidence, but you just get caught up in that. And that's exactly what you're always slamming other people for doing. So I would love to kind of push back with that. But I'd rather hear you with Alan. And that could be, you know, those old-time interviews where they would sit in easy chairs and they would smoke pipes.
Fireside chats.
Yeah, right. I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
Alan and Adam.
The dusting of James Lipton. So I feel like he was a darling of that group. He then started pushing back against that group as that group went too far in the civil libertarian department. And then allegations of him, you know, sexually this and that started like coming out of the woodwork. And I don't know if it's connected to crossing that group. Maybe he was in a protected bubble as long as he was on the – because when you're on the good side of that group, you know, I don't know, J.K. Rowling's or whomever, when you're – even Jimmy Kimmel. Like when you're on the good – when you're in their good graces, you're fine. If you cross them at all, they'll feed you to the wolves. And – then all of a sudden, he went from
Exhibit A, Al Franken.
Al Franken, right. So all you got to do is cross them at all. You'll get fed to the wolves. And is that what's happening to Dershowitz?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I don't want to speak for him. And I think the last conversation I had with him was attorney-client. We were talking to either mutual client or potential client. So I won't repeat that exact conversation unless he wants to. But Gary's put up there, I hope Epstein made videos and blah, 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 because that's a pretty...
This is Dershowitz's tweet.
Yeah, Dershowitz's tweet. That's a pretty...
Well, he also...
That's tripling down. Although,
He vigorously went after the woman who had alleged the sexual harassment or whatever that was.
He's got nothing good to say about David Boies, and I tend to join him in that. So,
who's David Boies?
David Boies is the one who represented, I don't know if he still does, Boies-Schiller, who represented one of the accusers, who represented the woman from Theranos and who represented Harvey Weinstein. And Alan and he are in a death battle of the almost octogenarians. Although one little thing that I want to ask Alan about if we get him on next week, Gary, they say that him on the nude beach in Martha's Vineyard, he hasn't been seen that much this summer so far. And I want to ask him about the nude beach. It's a fact that I didn't know about.
Did you know about that, too?
Apparently, for many years, he frequents the nude beach in either Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard. Isn't that a fun fact?
I don't go to any nude beach that has the word tuck it in it, because that defeats the purpose. I like to let it fly, so I go with the vineyard.
Hey, there you go. Well, Gary is really on his mark today. There he is. He hasn't been seen at his favorite nude beach in months. I love Alan.
We'll see if we can get him on. Okay. Question, and I don't know, just way out of left field, but I sometimes think about Paul Walker and his Porsche and a lawsuit and fuel cell and all that kind of stuff. We talked about it years ago. Yeah. What became of that?
We resolved it. I don't know if I'm under a confidentiality or not, but it was resolved.
Resolved means settle?
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't. As I sit here, I don't know if I can talk about it or not talk about it. I had to get a little app. I have an app for you can talk about this, you can't talk about that.
But somebody cut somebody a check and it went away.
I think that's a fair statement. Might have been right about the time that I bought your Lamborghini.
Well, I can report that his daughter was awarded $10.1 million by the estate of the gentleman who was driving at the time.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. I don't know if that was Mark's aspect or angle.
As I remember, a very wonderful woman was the driver and his widow and the
driver was a male, right?
Yeah, and I represented the widow.
Oh, the widow of the driver. Yeah. Oh, okay. Did you use my fuel cell defense?
By the way, people don't realize how valuable an asset you are, but you gave me what I consider to be a salient fact that brought that case home.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad it all.
That's why you
worked out.
Get pro bono work for. You get the Lamborghini sold.
I get. I drank $31 worth of Don Julio at your house last time, so we're square. All right, you can go to AdamCarolla.com. I got shows coming up in Dallas, the 24th and 25th of July, and also the 31st through the 1st of August in San Antonio. And you go to AdamCarolla.com. My book is back up and replenished at Amazon now.
I heard it went flying off the shelves, although that you can no longer say that. Downloaded to the point where it was out?
Bought. So many sold through Amazon that they were out of stock for about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. And now they're back in stock. So you can go to Amazon and get that and get the audiobook as well. And Chassis, Chassis, where all our car movies are. Mark, what's open for you?
We've got Capri is open in Southampton and is killing it. There's a pop-up restaurant called Naya, which is great. You should try that out if you're in Southampton. By the way, Sunday, tomorrow, when you're listening to this, there's going to be an art show there with Domingo Zapata, who painted something that I had to paint over. It said, "Kiss me like you miss me and fuck you like you hate me." Which I thought was an interesting anthropological observation.
Maybe you could put Nancy Pelosi's famous quote. Of,
yeah, maybe I'll put Nancy. People do what they do. I should have Domingo Zabato to say that. V Palm Springs is open. Go get down there. Casa Tropicana, Gary's favorite place on San Clemente, and come downtown for Tenny Mediterranean Tapas. If you don't want that, we've got a hot dog stand who we're in a constant death match with right out front.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.